she said, I'm pregnant. And I'd been pouring a bowl of cereal. And she goes, I'm pregnant. And I said, could you put the milk away? And she still talks about it to this day. She's like, you started fatherhood so terribly. She's going, like, thank God we weren't married. I would have divorced you.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Groove Life. Groove Life was born in the Alaskan wilderness by husband, father, and adventure guide, Peter Goodwin. He realized his lifestyle demanded gear that could keep up with him. After selling the General Lodge, a wilderness retreat that he had built with his own hands and fueled by the desire to design premium, innovative products that were backed by unbelievable customer service was when Groove Life was born. Working in a freezing garage in Alaska, Peter worked relentlessly for 6 months trying to perfect the original groove ring. Having no idea what success this would eventually bring, his only focus was to somehow provide for his family, and that he did. After him and his family moved to Tennessee a few years later, Groove Life now employs over 170 people and produces adventure-inspired outdoor lifestyle product lines like silicone rings, belts, watches, and they just teamed up with the legendary Tony Hawk for a new silicone ring line. You should definitely check it out. And also, make sure you check out my interview with Peter Goodwin, where he shares his fatherhood journey as well as the inspiration to start up Groove Life. For more information on Groove Life, make sure to go to groovelife.com. Hey everyone, Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I am so honored to have the one and only Kevin Smith to join me. How you doing, sir?
So good, man. It's such an honor to be on Father Podcast of any kind. Cause like, you got to remember when I was a kid, I didn't even think I'd ever get laid, let alone become a father. So like the fact that like people publicly go, this man has had sex enough that he is a father. That's good for my brand. You know what I'm saying? That helps sell Kevin Smith. They're like, he's the kind of guy that could have a child because someone would have sex with him.
Love it. We're going to be talking about Masters of the Universe Revelation. You guys did such a great job in that. And of course, like I said, we're going to talk about Father. So let's jump into Father, and then we'll go into Masters of the Universe. And it was just such an awesome treat to watch. But take me back. When you found out you were going to be a dad, I know you were excited. You know, Kevin Smith had sex. But when you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
I'll tell you exactly what I said. My wife-to-be, the woman I've been married to for 2 decades, Jennifer Schwalbach. She wasn't my wife then. We were in the kitchen at an apartment that I had in New Jersey that was right by Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash. And so she said, I'm pregnant. And I'd been pouring a bowl of cereal. And she goes, I'm pregnant. And I said, could you put the milk away? And she still talks about it to this day. She's like, you started fatherhood so terribly. She's going, like, thank God we weren't married. I would have divorced you. She's like, I literally told you there was a human being that you put inside me, and your first reaction was put the milk away. I was like, well, I didn't want the milk to go bad. Of course I was happy, but like I was in the middle of something. You caught me off guard. Harley came into our lives before we knew we'd be in each other's lives forever. In the parlance of my parents' era, Harley would be called a shotgun baby, so to speak. Or even in our world, something of a cocktail baby, because Jen and I have been dating for a little while. And like we were like oil and vinegar for the beginning of our relationship. And so we broke up and had breakup sex. And that's where Harley came from. So, you know, in the beginning, it was like, well, like, you know, I like you. We can get over our shit. And like, you know, having a human being, that's kind of a cool thing. And if you're into it, I'm into it and stuff. And I'd been raised Catholic and stuff, but I was kind of, it wasn't like, hey man, if you don't want this kid, there's nothing you can do about it. This kid's got to be born. I wasn't going to force my Catholic, then Catholic agenda, which was slowly dying anyway, as we were making dogma on this person I didn't even know, particularly when it's not even my body. But she was up for it. Jennifer was like, let's do this. Like, let's have a kid and let's have a relationship and stuff. So Harley was like the glue. Like, you know, I do suspect I would have come back to Jennifer because like, there's a reason you stay married for 2 decades. Love's a part of it, but like she's my favorite person in the world to be. It's that simple. That's what bonds marriage, kids. I love a lot of people in my life, but I don't fuck them all. You know what I'm saying? There's only one person that I fuck, and I lay my life at the altar of that altar and stuff. So, you know, I feel like I would have eventually like circled back to Jen and be like, hey, how are you? She probably wouldn't have given me the time of day. But Harley kept us together and grounded. And, you know, we were in our, two of us were in our late 20s. I think I was like 28 and Jennifer was like 27. And so, you know, I'd had a kind of like weird life so far with Clerks and giving me a career. She had also, she was a journalist. She wrote for USA Today. She wrote for Buzz prior to that. Not BuzzFeed, but Buzz Magazine, long time ago. So like, you know, we'd kidded around enough. We'd adulted enough. And it felt like, let's try that. I honestly don't know why. Like, you know, I do love my wife. Don't get me wrong. But like, there were so many reasons for us to let each other go. But Harley was the thing that kind of kept us together. Like, all right, we're going to have a kid. Let's do this. And then, you know, we got married. Harley was like, if you look at our wedding photos, Harley's there in the wedding photos, like, in Jen's very belly, which is jockeying for size position against my own. I gained a bunch of weight too, sympathy weight with her, but she lost hers and I kept mine. So, you know, Harley's been at the root of it and mercifully so. Like, we love each other incredibly, but like, that's the bond that we have between us is the kid, you know? And like, it's so strange, like that you find a person, total stranger. I didn't know Schwalbach prior to like when she interviewed me and that's how I met her and stuff. But you're like, yeah, you're going to be the person that I've been talking about my whole life. Since I was a kid, I wondered who I'd have kids with. And it's you. And she was the absolute right choice, not just as a wife, but definitely as a mother. Like, thankfully, Harley was a girl. We wanted a girl. The name Harley Quinn came obviously from the character. Character had been on the Batman animated series for a couple years. They had just introduced Harley Quinn in a trade paperback or a graphic novel called Mad Love, written by Paul Dini and Bruce Timm, the guys that created the character.
Yeah.
So Jennifer, early in our relationship, she was at my apartment and stuff. She's like, you sure like comic books? I was like, yeah, I swear by it. She's like, give me a good comic book to read. And I was like, oh, there's one just came out this week you might dig. It's called Mad Love and stuff. And so I have a photo of Jennifer, very young Jennifer Schwalbach, sitting in the bathtub reading Mad Love. Like I snuck a creep shot from behind, which is like, kids, don't do that. But we didn't get hurt. But as I, yeah. So after she got out of the tub, she was like, this is great. I was like, yeah, isn't it a great story? She's like, Harley Quinn would be such a great name for a kid if we ever had a kid one day. I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. And so the notion of living into that cool name is where Harley like came from. And so all throughout Jen's pregnancy, we talked about Harley Quinn as if she was a real factor and as if we knew she was a girl, even though we didn't. We were pot committed, and like so much so that if like she turned out to be a boy, she would have been Charlie Quinn. That's how in love with the name we were.
Yeah.
But like I, you know, she's been the thing that shapes our existence. I always tell Jen, like, no matter what we do financially, you know, because sometimes you'll want to do things that Jennifer's like, what are you nuts? That's a waste of money or blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you want to do things where you're like, I could take this job and this would make us set for a while, blah, blah, blah. But whenever we have money conversations, and particularly money conversations about the kid, you know, the kid has lived here since she was born and stuff. And she went to private school, so that was pricey. But, you know, she's a kid, so sometimes she's not greedy and she's not spoiled, but sometimes she comes back with big purchases, you know, or sometimes we see big purchases on the credit card where it's like, why are we paying your Uber bill, which we did for like a year back before she drove. And so, you know, Jennifer's like, you've got to go downstairs and have a discussion with her about money. And I'm like, look, number one, I'm the worst person to send down. Because, you know, I had a conversation with my kid like a month ago. It was adorable. She was like, I never really thought of you as my dad as much as I thought of you as my older, fun older brother who was rich. And I was like, you know what? That's what I was going for. I was never going for dad because I loved my dad. My dad shaped my entire existence. I am a reaction to Don Smith. Don Smith worked as a postal worker who worked from 11 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning at a job he fucking hated, canceling stamps at the sectional center. So much so that he would like beg my mom to call in and let him off the hook like once every 2 weeks. And so he hated his government job. And he never sat me down and said, don't get a job like me. But watching a guy be miserable sinks in, man. Like, you know, he lived in terror of that job, of going to that job every night and stuff. The rest of his life was happy-go-lucky. That job, like, probably aged him prematurely. And so I learned from him, like, you know, I'd rather risk it all trying to find a cool job that I feel good about that makes me happy than like just take a job. But my father's priorities were different. I asked him, I was like, hey man, what were your dreams when you were a kid? He was like, I just dreamed about getting married and having a family. And I was like, worked out for you so young. He's like, exactly. He's like, so for me, a job was never about what will fulfill me. He's like, a job just paid for what did fulfill me, which was like you, your brother, sister, and your mom. So he was real beautiful like that. Unfortunately, I'm a cursed generation where, you know, we want more. Like I wasn't content to just work for somebody else. And my biggest dream would be like, I got married and had a family. That was when I was a kid. But like, I was a big fan of SNL and I was a big fan of movies and comic books. And, you know, there was always this back of my mind, like, well, what about that? You know, when I found out that like people wrote movies and that there was such a thing as a director, thanks to George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, you know, suddenly you realize human beings do these jobs. But I didn't grow up in an environment where people were like, and you are a human being who can do that thing. It's always portrayed as something that others did, yeah, worlds away and stuff. You know, nowadays you tell the kids, you can do anything you want. We raised our kid going like, you can do anything you want in this life, man. We'll back your plan and blah, blah, blah. I came from a generation where my father's like, see that mountain? Never climb it. You'll fall and you'll hurt yourself. Let others climb it. And you can read about it in an encyclopedia or something like that. Know your place, Kevin.
Yeah.
So he was never the guy who encouraged me to like dream big because he didn't come from a dream big life. My father took me to the movies religiously. That was our thing that we did together. Like he had two other kids and he had to figure out how to spend his time, what little time he had and stuff. And with me, like I didn't like sports. I love TV and movies. So at a certain point he decided me and the fat one, we're going to go to the movies all the time. So my old man would do this thing. Like first time it ever happened, it was this great miracle in my house where I was like, this is amazing. My mom told me I was on my way to school. Our Lady of Perpetual Help went to Catholic school. And she's like, your father is going to pick you up at lunchtime and take you to the movies. And I was like, you could do that? Like, what do you mean? Like, there's school. Yeah. Like, yeah, just tell the sisters that your aunt died. And so your father's picking you up because you're going to the funeral. And I was like, you want me to lie to the Catholic people? And she's like, absolutely. So my father picked me up and Sister Gloria Louise is like, what's going on? I said, my aunt died. And so we have to go to the funeral. She's like, oh my God, we'll pray a rosary for her. And then me and my father went to the movies and stuff. And I guess he had a good time doing it because, you know, it's like, look, I'm a parent. And I've realized too, when the kid was young, she can like it. More importantly, I can like it as well. Yeah. You know, he wasn't bringing me someplace like that. I was like, oh, it was a horse race. He brought me to the movies, man. So I was like, this is great. So that became our regular thing. So much so that like every week, my mother would be like, it's Wednesday. Your father's taking you out to the matinee because the matinee was like $1.50. And I'd be like, what do I tell the school? And they're like, tell them your uncle died. Tell them your grandmother died. Like so many of my relatives died so that I could go to the movies with my father. And one of my favorite memories in the world, not just of my dad, not just of going to the movies, but ever, is the day that I met my father for real. Like my dad was always my dad. He was stoic. He wasn't like me, chatty, where he wore his heart on his sleeve. Dad pays the bills and dad says like, do what your mother says or else. He was a parental figure. So we go to see Raiders of the Lost Ark. Nobody knows about this movie, right? Brand new. There's been no prequels. So there's no sport. Like it just hit the culture like a bomb, man. Yeah. Like, nobody saw it coming. So my old man, he had seen the commercial and he was like, you like Han Solo, we can go see this movie. Because something about that movie called to him and stuff. So we go see this movie, just like we saw every matinee. And this is where I met my father. I didn't see my dad that day in the movie theater. As Raiders of the Lost Ark played, this man was excitedly, giddily interacting with the movie and interacting with me next to him in a way he never did. Like when we went to the movies, it was silence. We ate our popcorn and enjoyed the show. But he was chattering the whole time. He's like, this is exactly like the movie I saw when I was a kid. They would make movies like this all the time, cliffhangers. And me and my brother and sister, we would go to the movie theater and we'd pay like 50 cents and we'd see the movie. And then we have to come back the next week to find out what happened. This is what this is. This is what I grew up watching. This is good. Enjoy this and stuff. He was interacting with me in a way he never did before. I saw the fanboy in him. Like, yeah, you know, my dad went away and I saw Don Smith. And I fell in love with my father that day. I always loved my dad, but like I fell in love with the guy that Don Smith was. His hopes, his dreams, like he too was just like me. Even though he always presented as dad, he grew up watching Goofy that meant something to him, that could pull a reaction out of him. When I saw my father cry in a movie theater, that taught me two things. One, this powerful man. Yeah. The medium is the message, and it's powerful. And number two, it's fine for a grown-ass man to cry over something unrealistic, and that's not an injury. You know, watching Garp die in The World According to Garp, my father was bawling. And as a 12-year-old, I'm looking at him going like, well, if he can do it, I can do it too. And I'm letting the emotions roll and stuff. So my father shaped me as a person, even though he didn't shape me in the way that, like, he was like, you should do these things and be like me.
Yeah.
Who he was, I'm a direct reaction to, and not in a reaction way of like, I rebel against everything he stood for. Not at all. I am sad that I was not as content as he was. There's something really beautiful about the fact that, like, he just wanted to get married and have kids. He had everything he wanted by the time he was like 28, 29 years old or something like that. I'm cursed with ambition. You know, the idea of like, people got to know my name. My father didn't get it about that. He was content to not be known by anybody in this world because he was a rock star to the only people that mattered, his wife and his three kids. So I'm a product of that man. But at the same time, there were things about him, like, he didn't do anything wrong, but I always felt like I never got to know my father as deeply as I could have, because he was a circumspect guy and he did not wear his heart on his sleeve. And I knew as a father that I wanted to be different, and not where I'm like, he sucked and I'm going to be better. But I was like, look, I'm going to treat this kid not like I'm her dad and she's my kid. I'm going to treat her like a fellow human being. I'm going to treat her like a friend. Like, because more importantly, this kid is into it that I'm into. She likes going arcade. She likes cartoons. She likes movies. It was no hardship having a child, you know, because my maturity level was right there with the kid. So, like, I just knew that I could do it differently. I also didn't have three to raise, like my dad, two in addition to the one. So, and I also got to do it with, like, more money than my father ever got to do it with. He had a government job, so he didn't get paid a lot. So my parental role was easier than my father's parental role. That being said, rather than just be like, well, it's easier and I'll just take that for granted, I was like, okay, since I don't have to worry about these things, I can have a different relationship with my kid. Like the relationship that, like, I wish in adulthood that I'd had with my father, instead of just following him around and looking up to him and, like, observing the silence that he set, getting more into his head and heart, being honest with him. You know, as my father was always good about, like, going to bed at night. Like, he would go to bed at 7 o'clock at night and then get up at 9 and go to work from 9 o'clock at night till like 11 in the morning, and so, or till from 9 o'clock at night. He got up at 9, he traveled to 10 o'clock, his shift started at 11, and he finished at 7, then he came home. But when he went to sleep at night, there was no, like, weirdness in our house about, like, kissing dad, like, right on the forehead every night. He's like, I'm going to bed. He kissed dad, and he went to bed. He was my friend. Like, I love my mother, don't get me wrong, and stuff. But, like, my of the two parents, my mom saw that, like, all right, for whatever reason, Don and Kevin, like, they got something. They got movies, they got, you know, entertainment like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to let them have that. And we had this kind of really wonderful relationship that shaped who I became as a father, shaped who I became as a professional.
Yeah.
Shaped the rest of my life.
Cool, man. I you answered so many of my questions about fatherhood with that statement. And I know your time is short, but I would love to ask you some questions about Master of the Universe. So that's
absolutely
cool,
go ahead. We got all the time in the world.
Watching this, you see obviously the old school Castle Grayskull in the background, right? And watching the series and seeing everything that you put your blood, sweat, and tears into, I remember, you know, reading the bio that Ted Biaselli said, this is something that you should treat as Shakespeare.
Yes.
And you guys did that. And even, like, just being who you are and finding the small details, like having Alan Oppenheimer, who voiced the original Skeletor, being Moss Man, that just was like perfection. And before we started recording, I'm like, chef's kiss when you asked me how it was. Mm-hmm. Everything about the series, you had probably so much pressure, because we see now there's so much vile and crap on the internet where people say, like, I can't believe they did this about Star Wars or this or that.
Yeah.
If anyone complains about this series, they're insane, because you guys treated this so well. Talk a little bit about, like, the pressure, the way you guys constructed the story to be, you know, to share with the audience, because even if you're not a fanboy like us loving Master Universe, you'll still appreciate the series. So just talk a little bit about how you guys kind of did that.
You know, honestly, like, I wish that I could take the credit, but, like, this was a thing that was going to happen with or without me, because Ted Biaselli was like, this was his dream show. He grew up with Motu, he has all the toys. But, you know, he's also in entertainment and he's got a big job at Netflix. And so one of his first things he did when he got to Netflix from, I think he came from Disney or Hasbro right before that, was to make sure that they brought Motu in-house, because he always wanted to do his dream version of Masters of the Universe, where they could stab each other, where somebody could die, where there were stakes and stuff like that. So Rob David, the president of Mattel TV, I think he's the president, but he's my boss, that's for sure. He came and he was like, hey, we want to do a series for the fans of the original series. We're doing a new version of He-Man and the Master of the Universe, which is aimed at kids and it's reinvented. And then there's going to be a movie one day, but we want to do this one thing that sequelizes, spiritually sequelizes the show that everyone watched in the 80s, you know, that leans into the toys and whatnot. So if they had come to me and said, like, reinvent it, I wouldn't have taken the job. They came to me and said, give us the next episode where somebody gets stabbed. And I'm like, oh, that I could do. And so I never felt worried about the audience or the hardcore fans because I stood between two of the biggest fans of the franchise on the planet. Rob, who works at Mattel, Rob David, not only like is the Mattel guy, he's not just a suit, he's a writer. He wrote the Masters of the Universe comics for DC for the last like few years. And Teddy instigated the whole project because he's a massive dyed-in-the-wool Masters of the Universe fan. So between those two dudes, there was never a chance where I'd be like, ooh, what if he says snoochie boochies and sells drugs outside of convenience store? They'd be like, bro, that ain't Motu. Do that in your day job. So, but I respected the field. You know, I'm a Marvel guy. I love the Marvel movies and stuff. And I love how they respect my childhood. They don't negate it. Everything I read and loved in comics as a kid still holds true. And now they reserve it to me as a movie or a TV show. And I absolutely love it. That was the same thing here. I said, look, we're just going to do what Marvel does, man. We're going to honor the franchise. We're going to honor Masters of the Universe. Everything you knew about it growing up, absolutely true. We're just adding one more element, one more spoke to the wheel. But I was never nervous about like the fan base because Teddy is literally, not even exaggerating and not just blowing smoke, the biggest Masters of the Universe fan on the planet. We're living in Teddy's dream, his simulation. The only reason this show exists is because that boy wanted to see that show as a boy, and now he's a man in a position of power. And he's like, so at that point, he was never going to let me fail. That's why it was the perfect job. I'm like, look, I'm dyed-in-the-wool comic book fan, so I know how to treat things with respect. But even if there's things where I'm like, hey, I might go off the rails here, I had like, I refer to it as like when you go to a bowling alley and they put bumpers in the gutters so your kids can bowl. Same thing. I was never going to be in the gutter. Every ball was, it may not have been a strike, but every ball was going to hit a pin.
Yeah.
Because those two dudes were like, we got you. We got you. We got you.
Okay. We got to wrap up. I know you got a lot more stuff to do. I just want to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie you guys like to watch together. What is it?
Favorite family movie of all time, I think goes to Turner and Hooch.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of people like, is that a family movie? It's family friendly, but also like the bond between human and dog is a big one in this house.
Yeah.
And so when I introduced the kid to Turner and Hooch years ago, man, she bawled like I did when I saw it in the movie theater. And now she's excited for like the Disney Plus series that they're putting out.
Nice. Favorite family song, or is there an artist you couldn't wait to introduce Harley to?
The favorite artist that I couldn't wait to introduce Harley to was Alanis Morissette.
God.
Big artist in my life, played God and Dogma and stuff. But like, you know, I had a daughter. And I didn't know anything about raising a girl. Like I was raised a boy. So like I had, of course, trusted in Jennifer. You know, I was like, look, you're a woman, raise this baby woman and stuff like that. So all I knew to do was like, well, I'm going to feed her all my, you know, female influences. And so, you know, Alanis was a big one. So I'll never forget the kid being like 4 years old and singing at the top of her lungs along to 21 Things I Want in a Lover. Something that no child didn't know anything about and stuff, but man, it sunk in. And then years later, she became like a bubblegum punk singer herself. She got her own band, so it worked.
Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Perfect family vacation is staying home. Like, honestly, I love it here in this house. I love being around my family, and we've lived this way. It's a multi-generational household here. So it's me, Jen, and Harley, but Jen's mom, Gail, and her stepdad, Byron, have lived with us ever since Harley was born. So we were those people that like could look down at people that hired nannies for their kids and be like, who would ever do that? And we had built-in help for free. And so Harley had the benefit of four hands on deck at all times, two sets of parents. And, you know, Byron and Gail, like grandparents are wonderful because they're like, look, we did all the heavy lifting. Now we just like, now we're doing the go round. That's all about fun. Yeah. Like that. So they loved being in the kid's life. And they've, you know, they told us early on, they're like, the moment this kid turns into a teenage, we're out of this house. And mercifully, the kid has always remained sweet. So Byron and Gail still live with us. So does Harley. So we're all still in the same house. So quarantine was horrible for a lot of people. It was staycation for me. I had my whole family in the house. Nobody going anywhere.
Nice. Quickly, last two. Favorite Master of the Universe character is?
Favorite Master of the Universe character going into the series was Skeletor. Coming out of Revelation is hands down Evil-Lyn. Wait until we see where we take that character in the second.
Brilliant on that. Lastly, top three words you hope Harley uses to describe you as a dad. What would they be?
Rich older brother.
People, make sure you follow Kevin on Twitter at ThatKevinSmith and check out Master Universe Revelation on Netflix. It's such an amazing series. It's an honor, and it's been like one of my fanboy dreams to chat with you. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it, sir.
The world, man. Thank you all. That was so much fun.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.